You hear me? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Nope. Jimmy, no, you can't hear me. Ugh, this sucks. All right, I'm gonna close. Quit Slack even. I have to have GarageBand, and I need the videos. All right, I'm hanging up on you.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Ted. How are you this week?
I'm good. Had a full week. How about you?
Man, great. Looking forward to another fun show.
Always. Always a fun show.
Yeah, I wanted to start off with a kind of a funny story, and I'm afraid you're going to be taking my movie-going card.
Uh-oh.
So I'm sitting there at the computer. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm editing something or looking at pictures or I don't know. I was doing something. But then Clarissa shouts out across the house, and she said, "Get Mikey a frozen Band-Aid." So I thought, okay, well, you know, and I think I need to set the tone for the listeners that my wife's an RN. So I'm thinking, okay, a frozen Band-Aid, like they freeze Band-Aids and they slap it on like a scrape or a cut or a wound.
An ice pack / Band-Aid.
Yeah, it's like an ice pack. Yeah, coagulates it. It heals faster, all this stuff. So I go over to the freezer and I'm digging around in the freezer. I'm moving the ice cream and, you know, whatever. And I yell down across the hall. I say, "I can't find any frozen Band-Aids." Then I asked, I said, "Where are they?" And she said, "In the other bathroom." And I yelled, "Why are frozen Band-Aids in another bathroom?" And she said, "The movie Frozen, you idiot." So I wasn't thinking movies when she called for a frozen Band-Aid.
She was missing a piece of branding. It's Disney's frozen Band-Aids.
Oh, right. Yeah. Get me a Disney's frozen Band-Aid. I'll have to tell her that, so this way there's no misunderstanding.
No confusion in the future.
Right, right. So anyway, we got the Band-Aid and crisis averted. You put it on his little scrape. He was outside running around, tripped and scraped a knee. So he's all better now.
Okay, good.
With a thawed Band-Aid.
Yes, a thawed frozen Band-Aid.
How about you? Any stories or anything or any news to tell for the past week?
Yeah, so I spend a lot of time at Starbucks in Burbank. Shout out to my baristas down there, Gina, Jared, and Frankie.
Oh, you know all three of them, huh? You do spend a lot of time.
I do spend a lot of time there. And there's a lot of like old Hollywood retired guys there, like crew and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And so I chat them up, and I gave one of them our business card and told him to check out the podcast. And he promised me he would. So we'll see if Charles is listening to this. But I was talking to Charles, and he was, you know, interested in what we were recording this week. And I said, you know, Joaquin Phoenix, we're doing a trailer spective, like four trailers that Joaquin movies, and checking it out. And I was like, do you know Joaquin? Have you worked with him or anything? And he said, no, but I hung out with River, his brother, back in the day, obviously. And I was like, yeah. Oh, wow, that's so cool. Like, what movie did you do with River Phoenix? And he said, we did Mosquito Coast. He said they spent 6 weeks in Belize together, and he was equipment supervisor, and 6 weeks in Belize, in the rainforest of Belize, with Harrison Ford and River Phoenix and like the big film crew and stuff. And I just thought that was amazing, saying, you know, is he hanging out with Keanu Reeves and River Phoenix at the Viper Room? And this is now he's like he's an older gentleman, and he was, you know, laughing at me saying, no, that wasn't his scene. So to Charles, I thought that was pretty funny.
Well, let's get into the first one this week. And so we're doing a theme, it sounds like, huh?
Yeah, we're going to do four movies, four trailers for four movies, all Joaquin Phoenix. Because Joaquin has two movies that are coming out this summer. I think we said the first one we're going to do is the Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot, which is an Amazon Studios picture. And it's another based on true story. The other one that's coming out this summer is You Were Never Really Here.
And that's a theatrical release, correct?
That's a theatrical release, yeah. It's UK production. But yeah, it's going to be released worldwide in March.
Yeah, this looks like it's pretty heavy duty. I mean, as far as like an emotional roller coaster kind of a movie.
Yeah, the cast is great. Jonah Hill, Rooney Mara, Jack Black. Jonah Hill and Jack Black really has like this comedic undertones where they're trying to tackle this much heavier, more weighty subject, more of an indie crowd, indie feel, indie right. film. But Joaquin seems to play in that space a lot.
I think this movie's going to have some comedic relief. Just looking at the title, he won't get far on foot. And then when he face plants, driving his motorized wheelchair down the sidewalk, hits the curb. Man, I mean, you just feel that one.
He doesn't have any feeling in his lower body, but he's still in, you know, a lot of pain. And he's just like taking it out on himself, you know, throughout that part.
Yeah. And you almost feel like dirty just laughing at it because, you know, you shouldn't. But yet it is kind of funny.
The music throughout stays in that poppy retro space. So it doesn't pull you out. It says it's going to hit you with highs and lows throughout this movie unexpectedly.
Well, and the way the trailer starts, I mean, it sets the tone that this guy is quadriplegic. He needs a lot of help. He's in the bathtub getting waterboarded practically yeah. just to take a bath. He must feel so trapped in that he can't move. And this guy's pouring water on his face. And all he could do is lay there and just hold his breath. I mean, it's
yeah.
And it's like your heart breaks for the guy. OK, so it looks like they're at an AA meeting. You think he got in a car accident while drinking and driving, and that's now why he's quadriplegic?
I see. It seems so. That's the storyline of this. It's a cartoon artist who this actually happened to. So it is definitely based on a true story. And it's Gus Van Sant was the director of this. And this week is actually Sundance, so... this is premiering at Sundance.
Okay, kind of the indie film like you were talking about.
All of these films have an auteur experience where the director has such a known style and vibe that you can tell that this is a Gus Van Sant movie, you know, with the music,
right.
and with the pace and the way that the actors are acting. And I think this, you know, since I'm a fan of Joaquin Phoenix, but I don't know why I like Joaquin Phoenix movies, it feels like it's almost his selections of projects. Like he's in a place in his career where he can select the height of auteurs within the business to work with. And he kind of has this everyman. He's not a pretty boy, right? I mean, he kind of acts a lot without the words, you know, he has a lot of gestures and facial expressions and just an expressiveness that he emotes and acts without speaking. And, you know, the words that they craft for him are only, you know, a third of what's going on when you watch Joaquin Phoenix in a movie. So I think that's something interesting. I think it leads to me liking projects that he's in because I know that the caliber of the project is going to be higher. And it feels like if Joaquin is in it, that he's not only going to give a great performance, but it's also everything about it is going to be directed and run by the auteur that is in control of that project.
So the trailer moves in kind of a linear progression to where they set the stage. Here he is, quadriplegic. And then it shows kind of the trials and tribulations that he has and some of the struggles with his motorized wheelchair and yeah, his crash and all that kind of stuff. And then it cuts right into the fun, loving and living life that he's having with his friends, and kind of the energy definitely has an uptick.
They dip the music and they have that one scene where John doesn't like anybody and then everybody likes John. And then he gives them the joke about, you know, wait till you get to know me. So it's really a heartfelt tearjerker. But your typical Gus Van Sant piece, the themes of friendship and people denying themselves happiness, amazing themes that Gus likes to tackle.
Yeah, my intern supervisor, when I was in graduate school, he was quadriplegic. And he would type reports on the computer with a stick in his mouth. And he had like a dental thing. So he couldn't move, but his head would bob while he was typing and everything. And the dude had such a cool attitude towards life that, you know, when you first met him, you saw his wheelchair and you saw the situation he was in and everything. And I mean, within 5 minutes of talking, maybe even sooner than that, like the wheelchair disappeared and you just saw Richard for who he was. The attitude and just shine through. And I could see something like this kind of having that transformation where it might be that he's early on in his struggles with being quadriplegic, his alcoholism, and then how he transforms and kind of gains acceptance, like, you know, the stages of grief. He kind of goes through, and then the end, it's that acceptance that he has. And I remember stories that my intern supervisor, it was the same thing. He was like, whatever, 20 years old or whatever, when he was in the Air Force, and got ejected from a Jeep he was driving, landed on his head. And then, you know, he was quadriplegic, but, you know, and he was talking about how, you know, the depression he had early on. And it reminded me so much so of the stories that my intern supervisor was telling me while watching this. And if he's going to watch this movie, I bet it really touches home. And he might not even, it might be too close to home.
And it's amazing to be, I think, when you're able-bodied and you have full faculty and you just get up and walk around, it's hard to imagine the shift to a place where you're a quadriplegic or paraplegic and how that changes everything about your life. And then, you know, but once that's stripped away, then you have a new normal and a new paradigm, and you have a new outlook. And, you know, the other option is being dead, I guess. And this is, you know, since you're not dead, you make the best with what you have left, or what your new space and new spectrum of what you can achieve gives you.
Yeah, life goes on, and as long as you have your relationships and you surround yourself with people who care about you and you care about them, you know, I hope to never have to experience that. Yeah, the people around you, I think, are extremely important.
Yeah. So definitely indie movie, Sundance film festival circuit kind of spot, kind of movie, has that feel. I will say, I saw the poster online and I commented on it. You can check it out at TGP Hot Takes on Twitter. And the poster is kind of a hodgepodge. It's a collage of different pictures of different people. One of Jack Black, one of Rooney Mara, one of Jonah Hill, and the big one at the bottom of Joaquin Phoenix. But I kind of took a little shot at it because it was done in such a way where some of the pictures are overlapping it unnecessarily. So it's like some of the images are encroaching the others. So we'll throw it up on the website so you guys can take a look at it as well. It's a little haphazard, but, you know, indie films, they're just putting images and making sure that these actors are portrayed from the film in the poster, and they kind of go with it. But I would have taken a little more time and zhuzhed it a little more than what they did.
For an indie film to have this caliber of actors, actresses, I think it's going to be a pretty decent one. I'm not sure. Well, I shouldn't say I'm not sure. I'll probably see it. It's going to require a certain mood. It's one of those things, we'll see how the day goes, and then that's going to be the movie we choose for that day. So it's not like, I don't think it's going to be a rush to see. It's going to say, yeah, I think I'm ready to watch this one.
And it's definitely like a one-time viewing movie where it takes you on that emotional roller coaster ride, and you've done it and you've appreciated it, liked it. But even though you liked it, you may never want to see it again.
Right.
You know, there's been a movie like I think Leaving Las Vegas is another. It's one of those for me. Like, I like the movie, I appreciate the movie, and I would never watch it again.
Yeah. And I was thinking even like Terms of Endearment or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just heavy. So what do you think? Are you going to see this one?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to see it. It's easy. It's on Amazon, so it's easy. No threshold for not seeing it.
All right, Ted.
Cool.
I think we covered it. Three-word review, my man.
Oh, I had extra days to even do this. How can I do a three-word review for all these movies that have these long, long titles? I wanted it to be Don't Worry, Be Happy, but that's four words and it doesn't work, so I don't know.
Yeah. I always love how, you know, the three word reviews that come in every week and then like you're like not prepared. Like, oh, surprise. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll come back at the end or something, you know. I'd say we move on.
Let's move on.
All right. Joaquin number two is which one?
Joaquin number two is You Were Never Really There. Very
here.
Different.
You Were Never Really Here.
Ah, shoot. Yes, I said this wrong all the time. You Were Never Really Here. Again, another, you know, this is Cannes Film, award-winning film from Cannes. So another indie film, best actor, best screenplay, which they're telling us right at the top of the trailer. But just a completely different vibe.
You think? Yeah, completely different.
What's your initial take?
But yeah, so my initial take on this is that he's just this kind of bad guy he looks like a hitman who wants to help people and everything, but then he goes around with this ball-peen hammer killing people. The trailer doesn't really lend itself to the people he's killing. Well, later it does, I think, when he's trying to save that teenage girl. But, man, he is just a violent dude. Just walks right up to him and, I mean, talk about up close and personal.
Yeah. I mean, he's good at what he does, don't you think? I mean, they set him up as a successful hitman.
So you're saying he is in the character, not he is in Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix, yes.
He's just this, like I said, this badass hitman who just walks around with a ball-peen hammer, just bopping people over the head. He takes them out. It's kind of like Clue, though, but just not as funny. You know, it's like in the hotel with the ball-peen hammer. It's pretty incredible. What's your initial take?
I mean, I'm constantly brought back to the idea of Man on Fire, the Denzel Washington. I think there was a Denzel Washington did a remake of another movie where bodyguard or a hitman had to go and save a little girl. So it has that similarities to it. But knowing that we're going to get deeper into Joaquin because we know his kind of movies. And then also this director is another auteur where she's coming up and newish on the scene, not, you know, hasn't been around for decades, but she's definitely into the damaged human experience, you know? So it's an interesting take, interesting to layer in a story that's deeper and more of a thriller than her other stuff.
The other thing I thought too, and what I like about this trailer is that it has this linear progression again, just like the previous one, where it shows him, he's the hitman, he comes into the places, he does the hit, he makes the phone call, it's finished, and it kind of sets the stage that this is who this guy is, moving right into a job he has to rescue this girl whose dad is hiring him to get the people that did this to his daughter or took his daughter. And the guy's also vengeful because he wants them to, you know, he wants hurt to be put on him. Sounds like more than just killing. But it also gives me the feeling of like a Liam Neeson movie, you know, like they took the girl for ransom, whatever. And like in Taken.
Yeah, I love the idea of that linear storytelling of the movie, or what we perceive as the movie to come, is told in the trailer as well.
Yeah, rather than trailers that kind of jump around back and forth, you never know where you are. And maybe this, we don't know where we are either, but it kind of takes you through that progression and tells its own story in the minute 35 that the trailer is.
And it's, you know, and it's an amazing thing because every time when you're writing something or when you're making a movie, the biggest question is why are we telling the story, and why are we starting at this point, and why is this story different about this character? So what's the importance of this particular part of this character's life that we should take it out and examine it in, you know, a theatrical feature? So this is like the one job, you know, we've established that he does this for a living, and he's pretty good at doing it. And then we do this specific job where the dad is super vengeful and really wants not only the job to be carried out, and he wants his daughter back, but he wants everybody that was involved to be, you know, to feel the pain of what they've done. And then you have kind of a montage of him going around and kind of, you know, accomplishing his duty, his job, pulling off the job. And then that final creepy, creepy scene where he's like in the mirror and he just like dead serious to the creepiest smile that could only be pulled off, I think, by Joaquin, or, you know, maybe only a handful of actors could have pulled that smile off. And you leave the trailer feeling as unsettled, and maybe you really want to see the movie if that's your kind of thing, to be in a place where getting to that scene is worth you getting to the movie to see this.
Yeah. Yeah. That smile, you're watching it and you're thinking, okay, there he is standing there looking all puffy. Like, you know, he's bloated.
Yeah.
And I don't, and maybe he is that puffy and bloated, or they did that for the movie or something, but yeah, you're watching that and then he does that creepy smile and you're thinking like, man, this guy just enjoys like hitting people over the head. Hey buddy, how you doing? Kablammo with the ball peen hammer, you know? And I don't know, but yeah, you're right. That is just an ugly smile that he has.
And you don't know where it's coming from and how he's doing it, but he enjoys his work.
Yeah, he enjoys it. And it makes you wonder, was that like his smile after a kill? When he's done with a kill, he goes home, strips down, take a shower, and he just stares at himself like, yeah, buddy, you did another one. Job well done.
Another 50 grand or whatever. I don't know.
Whatever he makes.
Well, make these days.
Yeah. What do hitmen make? Right. Exactly.
Hopefully I'll never know.
It sort of looks intense, though. You're going to be on an edge of your seater.
Yeah. No, it looks awesome. And I guess it was in Cannes last year, but now it's coming out this summer. So, you know, a lot of good buzz on that.
To jump ahead just slightly, and we'll come back. But so on the will we see it side of things, I probably will see this. Definitely not in the theater. I'll wait for home because I have a feeling this is going to be one of those ones where I'm going to need a break. Go get another beer, go get some popcorn. I need to unclench, you know, I won't be so sore in the morning from being all tense. But yeah, this is, I think, is going to be an at home on the sofa, not necessarily on the big screen. I don't know. I think a movie like this, I probably would enjoy better at home anyway.
Yeah, just so you're comfortable spaced.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, when they say this is Joaquin's very best work, two comments. He's done some good movies in the past. I don't know if this is his best. I guess we have to see it and find out. And I was always told in writing that you never want to use very, just say it's his best work. Mm-hmm. You know, on the card, that's kind of just my critique on the writing part of that. I think if you just said this is Joaquin's best work, it would be more impactful than saying it's his very best work.
Phoenix's best work, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just some nuance that kind of plays and would probably be a bigger impact on the viewer.
I do agree with you, and I'm thinking, what if you said it in a British accent? Phoenix, I can't do a Brit. What if you said that in a British accent? Because that's from the Telegraph, so it's a Brit that did that, that's made that statement.
Wait, so something like, this is Joaquin's very best work. Oh my God, that was terrible, wasn't it?
See? Yeah. That was a horrible. That was like, that was a Monty Python-esque American trying to do Monty Python. Right.
Yeah, I don't do accents well, so sorry to any Brits listening, you know.
But I think that's where that idea of very comes from.
But yeah, whatever. You know, it's just some nitpicking, I guess. And then the musical score. I think I like that little, I don't even know what it would be, just kind of a keyboard in a sense, just the way it kind of taps along.
It's definitely the synth beat, and it just, again, you know, scoring a trailer, it just drives the audience, and it helps put you on the edge of your seat and keep you there and keep you guessing as to, this is a train and it's not going to stop. It's going to take you all the way through.
Yeah, and I mean, the one thing, though, in the beginning when they show his eyes in the rearview mirror of the car, it's like they're giving you a glimpse saying this guy is not all that you see you know, it's kind of like, what is that? An eyes are a window to the soul. So when you see his eyes, you're getting a glimpse into who he actually is. And then they kind of cut right into him, you know, kablamming someone with a ball peen hammer on the head.
It's very intense and it's very like unexpected from moment to moment.
And what do you think? You're going to see this one?
I'm going to see this one again. I agree with you, not in the theater, but we will see how quickly we can turn it and get it into streaming services or Redbox, like we said last week.
And then, I mean, it looks too like he has just numerous ways to kill people and inflict pain and torture on them. I mean, he's grabbing duct tape and wire and plastic and guns. And of course the ever present ball peen hammer in this one. What is your review then for this?
So the 3-word review for this one is Joaquin on fire. Because it really, you know, it just harkens back to the man on fire.
Yeah. Overall, I think it looks intense. Joaquin Phoenix, I think it shows, I mean, looking from the first movie that we reviewed, Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot, to this one here, You Were Never Really Here. I mean, it shows the dynamics of his acting ability, which then brings it right into the next one, which is an old movie for this point, Walk the Line, where he plays Johnny Cash.
So, Jim, are you a Johnny Cash fan?
Oh, I love Johnny Cash. You know, we have huge music collection. Man, I have a ton of Johnny Cash. And listening to Joaquin Phoenix singing all the music, along with Reese Witherspoon singing June Carter, man, this movie was awesome.
Yeah, and I think they did all that themselves. They did it all.
When I listen to the soundtrack, it sounds like Joaquin Phoenix is playing Johnny Cash. If you play them side by side, you know, Ring of Fire or something.
Is that weird, though? It's weird to have a soundtrack of a music icon that's sung by the actor that did his biopic. I think that's weird.
Do you? I don't think so. I mean, it's almost like someone doing just covers. I mean, I don't see that being any different.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like a cover.
Yeah, so he's doing the covers as Johnny Cash in the movie. Mm-hmm. And I think the pitch and tone and his rate of speed and the way he just plays the music, I think he just does a stellar job.
The trailer really, it pulls you in. It has the whole prison scene and the twang of the country music. But it doesn't really get going until he's on stage and he says who he is and he's in Johnny Cash mode. And you could just hear he's channeling Johnny Cash.
Well, isn't that like a lot of the trailers we talk about, how they have slow starts, they kind of build the story, they reel you in, and then mid-roll, all of a sudden, that's where the action sequence happens. That's where the musical score changes. That's where everything about the movie comes to life. The whole minute prior to that is the setup. I mean, that happens in all the trailers.
Yeah, here it's about 45 seconds in, and then it changes, it shifts, and then just goes into his music and the trials of his life.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
Yeah, you're looking at his childhood. You're looking at, you know, his dad being abusive, and it kind of sets the tone of why Johnny Cash is the way he is. You know, and you're looking at, I mean, his heroin abuse and in drugs, alcohol. He's probably self-medicating for those deep cut wounds that his old man gave him.
Yeah. So is this a biopic or is it a love story?
Yes.
What do you think the trailer's selling both? The trailer's selling like biopic and then it's just layering on the love story, right?
So yeah, I think it's just a blend. I mean, it is a biography. I think it's supposed to be of Johnny Cash, but June Carter played such a huge role in his life. It's a story about their relationship and about his career, or even I wouldn't even say his career, their career. Yeah, I mean, I think it's both. I don't think you can separate it based on how tightly woven their relationship was with one another.
Yeah, I think the trailer is definitely more a biopic. And from what I remember about the movie definitely feels like it's more of like a love story, because what I remember the movie, it was like she's such a big star and such a force within the movie that she takes over
all
of her scenes. So it's hard to upstage her when you're in there. So they're well balanced as far as actors acting against each other and acting with each other, you know?
Ultimately, I think her role in his life was so important that, I mean, she lassoed him to bring him back to the straight and narrow so he can then continue as the good man he was before the drugs. Within the trailer, it conveys the love story, and then within the movie, it also does. I mean, I think the trailer represents the movie well.
So will you see it? No, that doesn't work.
You know what? Not only will I, but I already have. Yeah, let's cut to the 70s with Inherent Vice.
Before we get too far into that, how about we take a break?
Coming up on Trailer Junkies Podcast.
The talk of the Jewish guy who wants to be the Nazi reminded me of Dave Chappelle when he was the black white supremacist.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, do us a favor and leave us a rating on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts to help others find out. Now back to the show.
So Inherent Vice.
This is an old one, but given our first two reviews of the movies that are coming out this year, I thought it was a nice mix of Paul Thomas Anderson directed kind of a Coen Brothers-esque noir piece.
I couldn't help but think of The Dude when I saw this one.
No, it's amazing. It's the Big Lebowski.
There were a number of times where I had to stop, rewind, watch, stop, rewind, because there was so much going on.
It's an amazingly high-paced, high-action trailer, so it's all over the place.
Yeah, and the funny thing, so I'm watching it, mm-hmm. and as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, man, this looks incredible. I'm going to have to go see this one. It gets to the end, and it says, coming on Christmas. And I thought, oh, man, Ted sent me an older trailer, or it's like way early. So I go to IMDb and look it up, and it said 2014. So apparently
you missed it completely.
It wasn't from this past Christmas, but you know, yeah, three or whatever years ago.
Years ago.
Christmases ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. But regardless though, I mean, it looks awesome.
Yeah. It was amazing. You know, it came out, and when it did come out, because I'm a Paul Thomas Anderson fan, I definitely wanted to see it. It got some mixed reviews, so I waited for it to come out. HBO, I think. And I was watching it with Anne, and within 5 minutes, Anne was out. She didn't care for it, but it wasn't her cup of tea anyway.
right.
But I was having, for the first time, we had the Citradelic, the Fat Tire beer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm familiar.
I had one. And I was like, oh, I'll have a beer, and we'll watch this movie. And then when Anne stopped watching it, I was like, ooh, this guy's like a stoner drunk, you know? So I had another beer, and I think it was either four or five beers into the movie. So I was well on my way to lit, like the characters in this.
And his character is, what, a private eye?
Yeah, he's like a barely scraping by private eye, beach bum stoner.
Which probably lends to the reason why the police don't seem to care for him.
No, they can barely muster any kind of sympathy for him at all through the whole piece. So, and James Brolin's great in his, you know, clean cut cop, you know, fed almost. So it's an amazing trailer. And then the trailer even has these, you know, like you said, so many elements in it. You have Owen Wilson and his amazing Last Supper pizza party.
Yeah, the hippie pizza. Wait, how should I say it? The hippie pizza party Last Supper depiction. I mean, I paused it because I had to see who was all in there and what was going on. I mean, that was so funny. And then the talk of the Jewish guy who wants to be the Nazi reminded me of Dave Chappelle when he was the black white supremacist.
No, it's amazing. Twist turns. It definitely has a Big Lebowski feel. Great cast. Great score. It's amazing.
Yeah, I didn't see it like we were talking. Mm-hmm. You don't have to spoil it, but I get the feeling there's kind of like a sting at the end where there's a twist you just don't see coming.
There's a couple of them throughout, and I think it's, you know, there's some nice big moments throughout, and you don't know where the story's going to go, and I guess it's been a couple of years since I've seen this, so I will definitely need to revisit this.
The dude abides.
The dude always abides.
Yeah, this is one, though, I definitely want to watch it. I don't know how well Clarissa will be into it.
Did she like The Big Lebowski?
Yeah, I don't know if she did or not. I mean, we watched it together. All right, so getting back to He Won't Get Far on Foot, do you have a three-word review of that?
No.
Joaquin can't walk?
Oh, that's interesting. I like the walk, because the walk the line, like. Joaquin can't walk. There you go.
Kind of a double entendre.
I like it. It's a thinker.
All right.
So, Jim, I know we're trailer junkies, but I thought we would check out this cool teaser that I saw for the AFC Championship this past weekend.
But, Ted, if it's a teaser, aren't they already watching it?
You and John Malkovich definitely thinking alike there. They did a cool little cold open where John Malkovich had a long script and a full orchestra and a director and everything, and they put it together and then they played it out in typical John Malkovich meta form, where he plays himself doing the voiceover for this big open. We have it on the website, so definitely check out the link there, because it's an amazing piece. A friend of mine brought it to a work meeting, and she shared it, and it was amazing. So I thought I'd bring it in here to talk about a little bit.
Yeah, you shared it with me, and I watched it. I didn't see it during the game or before the game, but definitely on the link that you sent me. And what I thought was incredible about it was just how he shows up. He's just all angry at the young buck who, you know, just gets out of film school and is telling John Malkovich how he needs to act and the importance of the role and why the role and all this stuff. And John Malkovich is looking at him like, dude, you have no idea. Just because film school said so doesn't make it true. And, right. You know, and that's just kind of where he takes it. And we talk about, getting back to other episodes where we've talked about the seven basic storylines, he brings up the David and Goliath type story. And I mean, that just plays itself out over and over again in movies.
Yeah, no, I mean, every note from the 15 page long script for this, you know, 2 minute open to him not knowing, the director not knowing where to cut into the NFL footage, you know, and the full orchestra for no real reason, you know, except to back up John Malkovich. It's, you know, it's a comedy of riches. And then, you know, John on top of everything else overstating the fact. But it was exactly that. It was everything that they had promised. And to me, this is the thing where you think of, you know, AFC Championship. You know, it's not the Super Bowl. It's the championship of, you know, one, it's the one game away. And I don't know if you're familiar with the NFL contracts and the way that the games are sold and packaged, but I believe it's the Super Bowl is set till 2022, and NBC and CBS and Fox have all decided that they're in this to win it, and they take turns with the Super Bowl. So when you don't have the Super Bowl, then you have the championship games. So this is a year that CBS has the AFC Championship game and doesn't have the Super Bowl. And I think NBC has a Super Bowl this year. So this is their marketing Super Bowl for their marketing department, for their NFL CBS department. This is the biggest thing that they're going to have, because you think, like, why are you spending all this money on this AFC championship when, you know, 2 weeks from now there's going to be the Super Bowl. Well, that's not on your network, so you don't have to do that. So what's better than that? Maybe you give them a middle finger to the Super Bowl open and say, top me and John Malkovich and these crazy, you know, young director and the full orchestra, and we're gonna go completely over the top with our AFC championship and see whether you're gonna just have a song and dance in front of your Super Bowl over there on NBC, you know?
Yeah, so it's like, you guys have it this year. Screw you. We'll get it again in the future, but right now, this is the best we're gonna have, and you can't top it, so go for it. Well, and what I love about it too is it plays off into the stereotypes of, you know, people have their ideas about how they're going to produce, they're going to direct and everything. And the guy who's been acting, and he's been like around the block 1,000 times, is just like, oh yeah, me, right. I'm the problem. You know? And the way they play it out as far as the importance, or well, maybe self-importance that a director might put on themselves when you have such a veteran actor, it tells those stories that, you know, sometimes the old guy actually knows what the hell he's talking about, you know?
It's usually that way.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you see it all the time in all businesses. People come out of school and they learn theory, but they've never been in the trenches. And here you are in the trenches year in, year out, and somebody's going to come and tell you how to do the job. And you're just like, you have no idea, you know, wait till you're confronted with that thing that's not in the textbook. Tell me how that worked out for you.
Yeah.
You know, but here's the important thing. And I don't care in any industry, you got to be rolling to capture it, right?
They missed John Malkovich losing it.
John, we missed the whole thing. You think you can do that again?
Take it from the top. So that's all I wanted to say about that. Just wanted to share that, and being the football season, and as we, you know, transition from the football season, you know what that means? The next month is Oscar season.
Oscar season, right.
We'll have some special stuff for Oscar season coming up.
Yeah, in February, what we're going to do is we're going to do a couple of movies every week, or a couple trailers to the movies every week. So you got to stick with us for the whole month. And at the end of it, we're going to come up with the best trailer, kind of a take on the best picture, and then look at how it compares and how we rank them compared to the best picture.
And for all of the episodes during the month of February, I will wear a tuxedo.
For all, oh, okay, cool, cool. And no, I'm not wearing some goofy dress, so no, don't think that's going to happen.
Who are you wearing?
Who am I wearing?
That's what they say on the red carpet.
Who am I wearing? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you wearing Versace? Yeah. Are you wearing... In your mind, you were thinking like I was talking like Silence of the Lambs or something. Like,
yeah, who am I wearing? Like, what is this guy? I think I have a leather suit on, like made out of human skin. I mean, come on.
Buffalo Bill style?
Yeah. No, now I'm going to have nightmares. But yeah, anyway, so that's what we're going to be doing for February. We'll see where it goes. I mean, I think it's just going to be, you know, a lot of fun.
A fun little segment, and definitely want to hear from you guys at T-Junkies Podcast on Twitter or on Facebook at Trailer Junkies Podcast.
And our website, trailerjunkiespodcast.com, and you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn. Oh, and Ted, there wasn't one that was just recent. What was it called? Pod?
Oh, yeah. So Podknife just recently picked us up.
Podknife.
And I guess they have a stable of podcasts, so we're in their stable right now, so thanks to them for picking us up.
Cool. So what we're going to be doing, we're trying to get on more platforms so people can find us. You can like us on all the different platforms, leave comments on iTunes and on our website, give us any feedback, good, bad, indifferent. But again, Ted's 11-year-old daughter reads all our comments, so please be polite and respectful.
Nice.
All right, Ted, I guess that's it, huh?
Awesome. Have a great night.
Yeah, you too. We'll talk to you soon.
See you, Jim.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
It's
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.